Good morning. I am Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus, affirming that this is indeed the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it as we worship the God who calls us to be all that we can be and to do all that we can be as agents of love and light in the world. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us this day through our live stream or recorded worship. We know that time and distance may be separating us, and yet we are one in the body of Christ by the power of the Spirit. May we feel that Spirit during this worship this day. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements that we would like to share with you this day. As always, we give thanks for the worship leaders who are giving of their time and talents this day. And so I lift up Tom Foster and Beth Canterbury. I lift up Sarah and Doug Hanna and Wayne Zaretter. And I also give special thanks to Hank Zaretter and to Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus Natick for all of the work that they're doing technically to make this worship happen. We have a time during our worship of lighting a candle, and so I hope that you will have a candle with you that we might all light together, symbolizing the oneness in Christ that we have. We're celebrating communion this day, and so that also means we're hoping that you will have brought together some things to serve as communion elements this day, bread or crackers or something else that you might have to break and share with others if you're with others, juice or wine or water and cup or cups. Any of those things will suffice in order for us to celebrate our communion together. So I hope that you will do that. We have a time of public sharing of concerns and celebrations during our worship. And we invite you, if you haven't already done so, to email those to admin@firstchurchnatick.org. If we receive these by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our community prayer together. So we hope that you will do that. We have a time always of post-worship fellowship via Zoom video conferencing. You'll find a link to that Zoom gathering immediately following worship in the weekly link emailing in the bulletin or on the church's website. And today we're going to have a special guest with us from Guatemala during the second half of our fellowship time together as we get an update on our friends at Santa Maria Zeja, including on the impact of COVID on the village. So we look forward to that. As always, we will be observing Open and Affirming Sunday as a congregation. This will happen Sunday, October 18th, and we hope that you will join us in celebrating the 17th anniversary of our ONA covenant, including reflections on what ONA has meant, what it means now, and what it might mean for us as a congregation as we move into our next chapter of life together. We have a time of midweek connection and prayer. This happens at noon on Wednesdays via Zoom video conferencing. So you'll find that link as well in the link emailing. You'll also find it on the website. It's about a half an hour or so of sharing and prayer time together, and we hope you will join us. Most of all of you know, and if you don't, you really should, we are in a season when we are preparing to vote as a nation and as a Commonwealth. And so we strongly encourage you to make a voting plan to make sure that you are registered and to send in your application for early voting or vote by mail. So do that. Be good stewards of your vote. In particular, in terms of being good stewards of your vote, we as a congregation have accepted the UCC Environmental Voter Challenge. So we invite you to pledge your vote to vote environmental values, not particular candidates, but environmental values by taking the Creation Care Voter Pledge. I did this very recently, and it's a very quick thing to do. You can look for a link to this, and there'll be more information in our link emailing and also in the Good Word newsletter, which you should be receiving in a few days, and also on the church website. So the Creation Care Voter Pledge, take it. The Reverend Daryl Goodwin was elected by the annual meeting of the Southern New England Conference United Church of Christ as its new and indeed its first executive conference minister. Daryl Goodwin, an LGBT Black UCC pastor, has a great deal of experience in various church settings. And so we warmly welcome Daryl into our life as a conference and look forward to his leadership among us. We'll have a newcomer gathering for those who would like to learn a bit more about FCC Natick. Please let me know if you would like to join in those conversations. We'll be receiving new members in November, and these conversations don't mean that you must become a member, but this is a time for us to learn a bit more about this congregation and to consider membership with First Congregational Church of Natick. So many announcements. It's because so many things are happening in the life of this church, and so we invite you to be engaged in those things. Right now, however, we want you to be engaged in worship. And one of the ways that we do this is by uniting one another as we come together to light the Christ candle. I will do that now. Let us now light our candles together, remembering that by these holy and friendly flames, we are yet one in the body of Christ. Let us continue that worship now as we join together in this responsive call to celebration.
In beauty and mystery,
we see the face of God.
In the common and the ordinary,
we know the love of Christ.
In the bread and the cup,
we taste the presence of God.
In the song and in the embrace,
we share the joy of faith. Come, let us worship. Please join us in the opening prayer as we say together,
Loving God, look upon us with love. Open our hands and hearts so that we may let go of the distractions and obstacles and follow you to the springs of life. Make this time a holy moment when we sense your spirit. Strengthen our trust in you. Get caught up in your grace and accept our call to loving discipleship. Amen.
Beloved, I invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and of sharing our peace with others. Or perhaps by saying namaste and offering a bow, which is a way of us saying to one another that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We're not passing an offering plate at this time, and yet we hope that you will continue to be generous givers of your time, talents, and treasure as members and friends of First Congregational Church of Natick. There are ways to make a money offering. We invite you to mail a check directly to the church office. Those will make sure those get to the right place. But also you can make an online contribution if you so wish by visiting our website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. We hope that you will do that. We also hope that you'll be engaged in church life in many ways during this time, and we've got lots of opportunities for you to do that. So please pay attention to the various communications from the church about things that are happening in church life. So let us now give of a portion of the fruit of our labor that we may be co-creators with God, whose kingdom of peace and of light is coming into being. Let us pray. God of grace, as ones blessed with much, we offer these gifts, that those who have little might be fed and housed and clothed and healed. May they represent our willingness to work for the wholeness that you want for all people. May we carry that light into the world. Amen.
The first scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 6b through 13. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them.
Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 and 4 through 9. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever home you enter, first say, "Peace to this house." And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that place, or that person, excuse me. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what they set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, "The kingdom of God has come upon you." Here ends our scripture readings for this day.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I went to the woods to live deep and suck out all the marrow of life, to live so Spartan-like as to put to rout all that was not life, to cut a broad swath and shave close and to reduce life to its lowest terms. So said Henry David Thoreau of his famous experiment in simplicity, building a tiny house on the shore of Walden Pond in 1845. And living there for 2 years. In the book Walden, he made a description of this house, including a materials list and dimensions and building techniques that has been complete enough to allow people to make exact replicas of that home. He also detailed the cost of his 10 by 15 foot cabin, $28.12. Think of it. 19 cents a square foot. Pretty amazing. Thoreau's creed was clear. Simplify. His cabin expressed this principle. It was a dwelling so small, he said, that he could hardly entertain an echo in it. A bed, a table, three chairs and a desk, a small mirror, kettle, skillet, frying pan, dipper, washbowl, two knives and forks, one spoon and cup, three plates, two jugs and a lamp were all that it contained. Thoreau thought furnishings were dangerous. He said, "A lady once offered me a mat, but as I had no room to spare in my house nor time to shake it, I declined, preferring to wipe my feet on the sod before my door. It is best to avoid the beginnings of evil." So what was that evil? Well, Thoreau imagined that every person was dragging along behind them, harnessed to all the trumpery, he said, which he saves and will not burn, making what headway he can. So dragging along all that trumpery. And feeling that possessions were people traps, he pointed out that he was a lucky fox that left his tail in the trap. The muskrat will gnaw his third leg off to be free. So going to Walden was in part Thoreau's way of showing us that we can free ourselves of the bond of possessions. And truly, many of us may want to be so unburdened. What else accounts for the success of Marie Kondo and her wildly popular decluttering techniques? Among Kondo's basic rules for approaching clutter are imagining our ideal lifestyle and asking ourselves if the item that we have before us is something that continues to contain joy for us. And as we discard them, offering thanks for each item for having served its purpose, but no longer doing so. Well, I will confess that I've never bought that book. I consider that an act of simplification right there, if you ask me. But I do see the value in Marie Kondo's approach. And it's one that I think that Thoreau would have appreciated greatly, taking steps to make sure that the things that we possess don't begin to possess us. Ah, but how difficult it is to remain shed of things and to remain so dispossessed. In 1857, Thoreau took a 12-day canoe trip into the Maine woods. His gear? Well, clothes, a sewing basket, a blanket, a 6x7 tent, a wool coat, a knapsack, gloves, bug veil. I could go on and on and on. That list, in fact, that you see before you is incomplete. So 10 years after leaving Walden, the man who preached simplify had assembled 166 pounds of baggage, reportedly enough to almost capsize that canoe when it was launched. So there are discrepancies as well in the different things that Jesus told his disciples to keep and to carry with them. In Mark, he tells them to leave behind food, money, a bag, and a second tunic for their journeys, and to take only a staff and wear sandals. In Luke, however, he says not to wear sandals. And in Matthew, he says to take nothing, including the staff. So despite these discrepancies, I think, however, it is clear that Jesus certainly believed that we should try to travel light. To travel light. What a shame modern life has made of these kinds of things, making traveling light such a heavy thing. I remember when I lived in central Vermont, there was a car that I often saw driving around the valley that I lived in that had a bumper sticker on it with a phrase that, frankly, I really like, and it's this one: the best things in life aren't things. And yet I always found it a bit ironic that this bumper sticker was attached to an SUV that was so large you'd have to call the harbor master to park it, adorned with a double-sized roof rockets on the top, apparently needed year-round to cart that family's stuff around. So, you know, it's easy to make fun of others, but honestly, I have loaded my own vehicle to the gills on occasion, especially doing one of those things that really ought to be one of the simplest of things, and that is camping, right? And yet family camping, the way that we tended to do it was always anything but light. We had a tent that was light, but only a few feet smaller than the cabin that Thoreau lived in for 2 years. And among the 60-some-odd items on our supplies list, not counting food and clothes and smartphones and, of course, tablets and things like that, we also drag along a couple of air mattresses and 4 folding chairs. And I cringe thinking of Thoreau's words in Walden. He wrote, "Furniture. Thank God I can sit without the aid of a furniture warehouse. The more you have of such things, the poorer you are." So maybe this is why my family and I stopped going camping. Years ago, I came across a little book that I really liked, The Journeys of Simplicity, that contained a list of some things that historical figures kept. I really love seeing those lists of the kind of things that notable people kept with them. So for example, Gandhi's possessions included 2 dinner bowls, a wooden fork and spoon, a watch, eyeglasses, a spittoon, letter openers, 2 pair of sandals, a prayer book, a diary. And in 1869, when Zen Buddhist Matsuo Basho, Japan's most revered poet, took his spiritual walking quest, he took only an extra kimono, rain cover, writing materials, and a few farewell gifts from friends. It is amazing how little some people have found that they needed for their journey along the way. And yet the book's author, Philip Harnden, also points out that they not only traveled light, but they had a traveling light that they carried inside them on their journeys. From the spiritual perspective, a willingness to travel light speaks volumes about our own inner spiritual light that only illuminates our way when unobstructed by possessions that we often feel compelled to carry. So I've been thinking that this is what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. He didn't want them to journey empty-handed. No, he spoke about what they were to bring with them and to share: a word of peace, a willingness to heal others, and the good news of God's kingdom of love. These were gifts of light. He told them to go in pairs, that they might have the light of one another along the way. Then there was that brightest of lights to go with them: trust. For when Jesus told them to travel with only the clothes on their back, it was because he wanted them to fully experience the grace that is found by relying upon the guiding and providing grace of God. To be honest, most of the time I am afraid of traveling that light and trusting so much. And yet the longer I'm around, the more I do feel the burden of stuff. When we moved from our single family home in Vermont to an apartment in Cambridge, whittling things down to fit into our new space, that took a lot of effort. And it felt wrenching to part with so many things accumulated over so many years. Today, especially having lived with our 2 daughters and a lot of their stuff in our little place over the last 7 months, it feels liberating now to have so much less stuff. Most important, I realized that how little all of my stuff has actually done for me. When job prospects were uncertain, when my family was experiencing stresses and pressures, when depression tried to get its dark hold on me, when I had leukemia, or with the upsetting, unsettling, destabilizing fact of COVID and social unrest and political turmoil, when all of those things roll around inside my brain and threaten to infect who I am and what I'm about. No, it's the presence of others, and it's the trust in God's promise not to abandon me, not to be separated from me, that it has always lightened my burdens best. 1,200 years ago in China, Peng Yun loaded all that he owned in a boat, and he rowed it out into the middle of Chongqing Lake, and he sank it, and then he swam to shore. No doubt Thoreau would have applauded, for even if he didn't have the courage to send all he possessed to the bottom of Walden Pond, and I don't have that courage either, but at least Thoreau could have rowed all of his things out upon that lake. I couldn't find a boat large enough to carry it all, even after downsizing. So ponder with me then a mystery that Philip Harnden offers, that we take delight in things and we take delight in being loosed from things, and that, as he says, between these two delights, we must dance our lives. Which makes me ask, is it not true that what we choose to carry will have a profound effect on the quality of our dancing? It is said that after sinking his boat, Peng Yun lived like a single leaf, lived like a single leaf. I appreciate that graceful image of making one's life journey with such unencumbered simplicity. And I admire his trust like that of the disciples. And I imagine them in the middle of the lake, disbelieving that they had just cast off all that they ever owned, all that they ever knew, all that they ever relied on. Fearful that they might not make it back to shore. Finding through this act of trust that they had other unknown resources within them. And experiencing, maybe for the first time, the graciousness of journeying in the care of God and with one another. May we choose wisely what we carry, that we too might know the joy of swimming and dancing and traveling in such grace. And may our loving God be with us as we so choose. Amen. We come to a time now of lifting up concerns and celebrations that should come before our congregation this day. And I would turn to Wayne Zaretter, who will share with us a number of things. There are a number of prayer celebrations and concerns in our bulletin. But I suspect that Wayne has probably received some additional ones before or during the worship service this day. Wayne?
Good morning. We join Sarah Hannah in prayers for the brother of her best friend, Catherine. Catherine's brother, Joe, is in the ICU, treated for serious injuries following a motorcycle accident in Braintree last week. We join Gretchen Dubois in prayers for her sister, Becky Sherman, who has been in the hospital for 2 weeks battling an illness and went home yesterday with a long recovery ahead of her. Thoughts and prayers to the friends and family of Lane McDonough, whose father Bob died on Friday. Also, may Lane have a safe journey to be with his family in Pennsylvania during this difficult time. We send our love and care to Sarah Lynn Keller, who is not able to join us today as she recovers from a brief illness. prayers of gratitude to Peg Waters and Bill Ladd for the creative and welcoming seasonal decorations in front of our church, reminding all that we are still active in this world. Celebrations for the birth of Gordon Thomas McAvoy on Friday. His parents are friends of Bill Ladd. Lastly, we celebrate the marriage of Peter and Dale Sinesi's daughter, Jaslyn, who is married over Labor Day weekend in 11-person immediate family-only ceremony and celebration.
Thank you, Wayne. And I'm going to lift up a special celebration because I have just learned that Sarah Lynn Keller does not have COVID. She had a negative test today. So Sarah Lynn, we're glad about that. And we hope that you are on the mend and feeling much better. I lift up prayers for our church as it makes another kind of transition. Many of you will have received and read a letter from the First Church Preschool Board concerning the closure of our 50-year plus old preschool program. For many of us, that will mean a time of sadness, knowing that this wonderful and highly valued program is not going to continue. But we also recognize and celebrate the fact that we had an extremely successful program for quite a long time, that we were indeed pioneers in this community in the area of preschool education. And we also specifically lift up in prayer and in thanksgiving, our preschool director, Teresa Iodice, and her preschool teachers, and this program, which has meant a lot to so many. We also pray for our new executive conference minister, Reverend Daryl Goodwin, as he begins his work in the coming weeks. May we be blessed by that leadership as well. Let us pray together. We give you thanks, Holy One, for calling us to be your people in the world, instruments of peace and agents of grace and messengers of your love for all people and for your good creation. In these days of many burdens, may we carry this calling and your mission in the world and yet know it to be made lighter by the abiding presence of the living Christ. Help us to detach ourselves from the things that threaten to drag us down. And above all, help us to choose wisely what we carry along the way, particularly those we carry in our hearts and in our minds. And so we ask, may the light of Christ be there especially, guiding us and shining forth from us on behalf of those who long to know you and your way of love for all people. Help us, Holy One, especially in these days of strife and division and uncertainties and unrest and pandemic, to be a united people in the common mission of reflecting your light and grace and being beacons of light and hope for people who are hurting and fearful or despairing. We ask so much, but we ask, Holy One, these things in the name of Jesus, the light of the world, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We come to a time now of sharing God's light together as we come together to join in communion. I invite you now, if you have not already done so, to prepare your communion elements at home. By the power of God, even an English muffin can become a sacrament. Even a cup of water or tea can become a remembrance of God's redeeming love. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. You who come to me shall not hunger. You who believe in me shall never thirst." In company with all who hunger and thirst for spiritual food, we come to God's table of plenty to know the risen Christ in God's life-giving bread and wine. This communion is open to all people. People of God, all things are now ready. We are one bread, one body, one cup of blessing. Though we are many throughout the earth and this church community is scattered, we are yet one in Christ. In your many kitchens now, or your living rooms, rest your hands lightly upon these elements before you, which we set aside today to be a sacrament. Let us ask now God's blessing upon them. Gentle Redeemer, there is no lockdown on your blessing and no quarantine on your grace. Send your spirit of life and love, of power and blessing upon every table where your children shelter in place, that this bread may be broken and gathered in love and this cup poured out to give hope to all. Risen Christ, live in us, that we may live in you. Breathe in us, that we may breathe in you. We remember that Paul the Apostle wrote letters to congregations throughout places that we now call Greece and Turkey and Macedonia, and that they were the first remote worship resources. So our online service has a long, long history. The communion words sent to the church at Corinth were these: "For I received from the Lord what I also handed to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said to his disciples, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup also, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us now, in our many places, receive the gift of God, the bread of heaven.
We are one in Christ and in the bread that we share.
Let us, in our many places, receive the gift of God, the cup of blessing.
We are one in Christ, in the cup we share.
People of God, take, eat. Beloved, let us pray. Let us pray in thanksgiving for this meal of grace, rejoicing that by the very method of our worship, we have embodied the truth that Christ's love is not limited to buildings made with human hands, nor contained in human ceremonies, but blows as free as the Spirit in all places. Please join me in this prayer. Spirit of Christ, you have blessed our tables and our lives. May the eating of this bread give us courage to speak faith and to act love, not only in church sanctuaries, but in your precious world. And may the drinking of this cup renew our hope, even in the midst of pandemic. Wrap your hopeful presence around all whose bodies, spirits, and hearts need healing, and let us become your compassion and safe refuge. Blessed in our diversity, make us of one mind, heart, and spirit, that we might proclaim and embody well your love for all creatures and all creation. Amen. Beloved, beloved, arise from our worship in response to the God who calls us all to be instruments of peace and love and light in the world. And as you do, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you might abound in hope. Go now in the peace of Christ to carry that light into the world. Amen.